Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Well, at Watoto Church, we have been going through an amazing series in this family month and focusing on men, God's heart for every man. It is a huge, huge privilege to know that God has thoughts towards us as men. I think we have been bashed so much. But it's great to know that God has a purpose and a plan for every man. Every man. Every man. And so we want to close this month in focus on men. We want to close it in prayer and fasting. And so from the 27th to the 31st, across all our celebration points, we are going to be praying together. We're going to be fasting and praying, and here specifically at downtown, we'll be having a prayer every morning, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., and we'll be sharing the Zoom link on WhatsApp groups and different social media platforms. But also, one more thing to take note of is that on Friday the 31st, we want to come together and have an overnight, and we'll be praying from 9 p.m. all the way till morning. And so we hope to see every man as we crown this year or this month in prayer. Amen. How many of you are ready for God's word? I am excited to get into God's word. So let's pray together. Jesus, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you for opening your heart to us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for what you are saying to us as men. God, as we get into your word, we ask that you will speak, continue to speak to us. We honor you for the entrance of your word brings light. So God, today, would you open our minds? Would you give us revelation and insight? Would we receive understanding today? Would our lives, God, be transformed by the entrance of your word? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, we've been going through a series, like I said, about God's heart for every man. And last week we were blessed to hear about the importance of accountability, that band of brothers. And I hope that you have found some of those men that you can do life with. Today we want to go to another someone title, and we want to be looking at something that's very, very critical. Very critical, especially to every man. And we've titled this, God's heart for every man is to be engaged in honorable work. Tell your neighbor, honorable work. Honorable work. Well, God's heart for every man is to flourish. God's heart for every man is to flourish. One of the best scriptures that we all love to quote is in Jeremiah, that says that he has plans for us, and these plans are plans to prosper us, to give us a future and an end that we hope for. In God's intention for every man, there is no doom. It's not a plan to fail us. God's plan for every man is that we will flourish. And he has created a way for us to do that. And that is through honorable work. Honorable work. This is seen in God's first instruction to man in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. But also in Genesis 2, 15. This is what it reads. It says, and God blessed them. God had just created man and woman. It says, God blessed them and God had created man, and then he said, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and of man, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. In Genesis 2, verse 15, it recounts the same words, but just phrases them a little bit different. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. I believe that as God's image bearers, we have a pre planned assignment. As men, we have been given an assignment, or our own garden of sorts, just like Adam, a responsibility to work and to care for. It is also important to note that the assignment to work the garden was given directly to Adam. And then the woman's work or assignment was to support him. We see from the Old Testament and early Christians, they viewed work as part of God's assignment, as something noble, as something dignified, as something divine, as God's assignment for man, and that it was honorable. But unfortunately, along the way, we see that they are crept in another view of what work was or what work is. People began to view work as a curse, as a burden, as a problem. But my friend, I want to tell you that work is not cursed. But because of sin, work became a little bit difficult. It became difficult. These worldviews came in from different places. One of those places were the Greeks, influenced by Aristotle's thoughts and worldview, who considered manual labor demeaning and undignified and ungraceful or disgraceful, and exalted leisure and contemplative work. Thinking, okay, going to Colosseums and listening to the newest thought began to be elevated beyond carpentry, beyond working at home. Because of that thought process, some of that began to creep. This is the history. This is the origin of a warped worldview of work that today many of us, I believe, struggle with. And we don't even know why we are thinking the way we think. If you remember, some of us, when we were finishing maybe senior four or a certain point, and maybe someone suggested, would you like to go to vocational school? Would you like to go and do carpentry? It felt like they were telling you to be the lowest of the lowest in society. True or false? And so some of this thought process also began to seep into the church, where work was sought after. Work was seen as divine, where every work was honorable before God. But because of the world view, or because of the world, some of these things began to get into the church, especially through church fathers like Eusebius and Augustine, who began to be influenced by the Greek thought. And they too began to elevate contemplative and spiritual work over professional and conventional work. They began to say, listen, what we do in church is more spiritual. Convents began to be formed where people secluded themselves and said, this work of prayer, shandering, is more important than the work that you do Monday to Friday. That is not spiritual. It's not divine. But thankfully, during the Reformation times, Martin Luther, John Calvin, and the others began to say, no, no, no. Work, all work, including daily tasks, is a call from God. Is a call from God. All work is divine. In fact, there's a quote by Martin Luther that says, when you see the mechanic, when you see the architect, when you see the plumber, when you see the pastor, when you see the doctor, what is behind that mask is God at work through those people. And what they were trying to do is bring back the worldview, or the biblical worldview, that all work is divine. All work is honorable before God. However, again, through the Industrial Revolution, Marxism, capitalism, began to bring in another thought where they considered one's work or job or career as an end in itself. It started to sway us to another extreme, encouraging people to find personal fulfillment through achievements in work. And this view further led to the loss again of the connection between vocation and God's calling, making work an idol. And so we see two views that are opposed to the biblical worldview. And these non-biblical views of work have led to an unhealthy approach towards work, especially for men. Some men, in pursuit of materialism, have idolized work, which has led to overworking. This, in turn, has led husbands and fathers from being absent from their families. Someone said, if the devil does not get you not to do something, he will make you too busy while doing it. Some men's identities have been wrapped up in the social status of their work. You can know this by when you refer to someone and they are offended because you forgot their title. And they have to remind you, I am engineer so and so. It is a sign that our view of work is a bit warped. This has caused some men to force also their children, and we see this in families, to pursue vocations that don't fit in God's purpose for their lives because of a certain social status. The kanzaires are, you must become. Basically, what that is to satisfy a certain ego. Friends, the purpose of our talk today, the purpose of the Word of God coming to you today is to help you recognize that God's intention, God's heart for every man is to be engaged in meaningful but also honorable work. What does that look like? We're going to look at that. Some men don't find meaning in their work, and so they are cynical and don't work wholeheartedly. Hence, no growth or increase. There is no fruit from their labor. Yet we saw in Genesis, God's command is go and be fruitful. For some, they are just lazy because they are certain the environment around them is unhealthy. We have this culture in Uganda where we are just so hospitable. Firstborns, you find a son 35 years old and he's still saying, "Mommy, I want transport." That is not hospitality. That is spoiling. Praise the Lord. We also have the idea that manual labor is undignified, not noble. And this has led many men to despise work. As a result, they are waiting for that dream job. That dream job, they are waiting for an offer. There is work available, but they are waiting for a certain job. And yet the Bible tells us that God will bless the work of your hands, not the job that you are looking for. Even when God spoke to Moses, God who is able to do anything, he asked Moses, "What do you have in your hand?" He will work with what is in your hand. If God can deliver a whole nation with a staff, a stick, what can he do with that acre of land? All these mindsets and attitudes towards work can never deliver the promise to bring significant meaning to our work. Therefore, we as men need to reclaim the biblical understanding of meaningful work to the glory of God. How do we do this? What is the perception that we need to hold? The biblical perception that we need to hold in order to engage in meaningful work. Number one, we must see work as blessed. All work is blessed. All work has the capacity to make you prosper. Do you know that when God created Adam, the work that God gave Adam, number one, was maintenance work? Go and tend and look after the what? IBM? Garden. It was work. I don't know about you, but I love the word of God, and I like to think about the things that God has said in his word. When Jesus was being born, I mean, God had the capacity, really. He could have given birth, brought Jesus into this world in the family of a Pharisee, where there was contemplative meditation on scripture, not in a carpenter's house, where there is sawdust, allergies. Maybe God is trying to tell us something. That all work is blessed. After God created man, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden and told him to work it. A perfectly loving God, perfect, in a perfect and sinless world, gave work to man. Didn't give him an ATM. He didn't give him a trust. This is the Almighty God. Okay? The scripture says that where he lives, the pavements are made of gold. He could have said, listen, there is a strand, a password from heaven. Every time you need something, just press it and gold will show up. We will just push some dust over to you, Adam. That's not what God did. In a perfect world, ladies and gentlemen, no sin. God gave work to man. That shows that work is blessed. When man works, he is being like God. Because also when God created man, Genesis chapter 1, God could have chosen to show us his nature by starting with angels flapping and saying, holy, holy, holy. He could have. He is God. True or false? But God chooses that the very first thing we know about him is he is a worker. He is a worker. And so when man works, when man engages in meaningful, honorable work, he is being like his Father in heaven. So when man does not work, I will let you finish that one. The second thing we see, or perception we need to carry in order for us to engage in meaningful work, is that work, we need to work from a place of rest. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2 to 3, it says, and on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested. Brethren, I want to ask you a simple question. Do you think God needs to rest? My friends online, do you think God needs to rest? He doesn't. He is God. The Bible says that he neither sleeps nor slumbers. Praise the Lord. We quote that scripture. The one who watches over Israel does not sleep or slumber. So what is happening in Genesis? Also, let me give you this example. If I am trying to orient someone to take over or to look after a certain department, when I start building or when I start orienting, I would want that person to be present with me. True or false? So when God is creating this world that is then later going to hand over to man, shouldn't he have created man first? But no, God creates Adam on the sixth day. The first experience that Adam has is day seven, rest. Why? Because God wants to show the man that yes, you should work, but you should understand that you only work because I have already worked. I create from nothing, God does, but we create from what he has already created. That's why the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it says we are to rule, we are to produce fruit, but we are also to subdue. That word subdue is to bring value out of. Work from a place of rest. So many of us who have worked, but we have worked restlessly. We are running, trying to chase all these deals, and we work like there is no tomorrow. We are not in the will of God. That word is to me too. Hallelujah. The best example we have, again, is Jesus. No one, none of us here has a greater assignment. We'll ever have a greater assignment than our Lord Jesus Christ. None of us. No one's assignment was so pivotal to man's destiny than Jesus Christ. Yet we see in Mark chapter 6, this is what he does in response to overworking. Oh, people are trying to show off. Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 31. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that had done, or what all they had done, and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and to get some rest." Jesus prioritized rest. God calls us, ladies and gentlemen, to work, but to work from a place of rest. Do not overwork. Don't overwork at the expense of your health and of your family. The day you die, we will replace you. Because the work of the Lord must go on, we will replace you immediately. But can I tell you, there is no replacement for a father in your home. The next best thing is plan C or plan D. Number three, perception. The way we need to think in order to engage as men is that work should be in service of others. Work in the service of others. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 7 to 8 says, "Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling?" he asked. It is clear from this text that meaningful work is not self-serving. It's not an end to itself. But good work must be done in service to others, of others. The first thing that is important as we work as men is that our work should be serving our households and relatives. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." There are men today who have all the resources but are so selfish, they leave their wives to run the family with nothing. Rather than being the chief provider, recognizing that the reason why God has called us, the reason why God has given us a work to do, a garden to tend, is so that we can have enough to provide for our own people. Number one. Number two is so that we can be generous to other people. Acts 10, verse 1 to 2 says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Men, gentlemen here, God has called you to be generous with the blessings that he has given to you. Work with the purpose of being generous to other people. This is God's call and purpose for our lives. Finally, work is to build a better tomorrow. Okay? Work is to build a better tomorrow. Within this concept of work must be to the service of others, we need to think legacy as we work. The purpose of work is not to amass wealth, to get all we can and can all we get and sit on the can. That is not the purpose of work. We need to think generationally. The Bible says that a righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Ephesians 4 verse 28 says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. May I also add that as we pursue meaningful and honorable work, this work must be done with integrity. We cannot use the devil's practices or tactics to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Corruption cannot be the way that we fulfill God's desires. What have I said? As God's purpose for a man, God's desire for every man is to engage in meaningful, honorable work. For us to do that, we must have a different mindset and view. We must see work as a blessing. We have been called to work. And work is blessed. And we must work from a place of rest, first and foremost. But also, work is meant to be in service of others. That others includes your family, includes your community. I think the greatest thing is what I want to end with, that work, this needs to be our mindset, friends. Work should be done diligently to the honor and glory of God. It is. Genesis 1:28, he says, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. God and man. This is God's will for our lives, friends. Work must be done in the service of God diligently. Diligently. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 verse 9 that he who is loose and slack in his work is brother to him who is a destroyer. Can you imagine? Men, as we work, we need to work like the Bible tells us in Colossians with all our heart. Why? Because we are in service to only one God. Your real employer is Jesus Christ. He is. This scripture says, he who is slack and in his work is brother to him who is a destroyer. I like what the rest says. It says, and he who does not use his endeavors. That work, that word endeavors means he does not put in effort. He doesn't try. He's waiting for opportunity to come to him. It's the same as one who commits suicide. We are not those men. Paul says, listen, we are not those men who draw back. We are those men who believe and move forward. I declare that over you. We are not those men who are slack. I believe that God wants us to wake up to this realization that we have been called to work. That the work that you do is not menial. It's not second rate. It is divine. It is divine, whichever work you do. The first person in the Bible who was anointed to work was actually a craftsman. When God was preparing to build the Ark of the Covenant, he poured out his anointing on certain men to who were skilled craft. I like these quotes, and I need to end. Scripture says that we should not be slack. These men wrote, a gentleman called Dean Stanley, he said, the true call of a Christian is not to do extraordinary things, but to do ordinary things in an extraordinary way. I like the way John W. Carver said it. He says, when you can do the common things of life in an uncommon way, you will command the attention of the world. And when they ask why, you can point your finger to the one who created you and give you that ability. As we close today, I want to invite you to work like your Father, to work like Jesus Christ. You know that in the Bible, Jesus said these words. He said, I have come to do the work of him who sent me. In fact, at some point he said, I must work while it is still day. Jesus worked. He had the greatest assignment. Was it easy for the Son of God? No. Can you imagine if Jesus had bailed out on his assignment? You and I would not have salvation. Can I tell you, man of God, you have an assignment that men and women are depending on. That your perseverance, your diligence will affect. If you do not give up, if you rise up to this incredible privilege of being called to work. So I want us to pray as we close today. Are you here today? Maybe you have slacked on that assignment. Would you recommit yourself to work as a man? Have you been influenced by a mindset that has told you don't need to work, that you can avoid toxic environments, that you can only work in environments that are only nice? Is there a thought process that you need to bring down and elevate a biblical worldview? I want to invite you right now, online and in here, would you commit yourself again to work? To a biblical view of work. But you might also have come today and you do not know Jesus. You've never given your life to Christ. Well, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ came and died for your sins. He did the work. Because he laid down his life, today we enjoy generations and generations down the road. We enjoy this incredible privilege that we can surrender our hearts to him and receive forgiveness of sins. So So if you came today and you've never given your life to Christ, I want to invite you to do that right now, online. I know God is speaking to you even as we share. God is speaking to you. If you are here and you know that that's you and you're saying, Pastor Ken, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to surrender my life. Maybe you have been in pursuit of work and it has had no meaning. The world has not had a meaning. It's been empty. Our satisfaction is not in work. Our satisfaction, our identity is found in Jesus. So I want to encourage you. If that is you, would you raise your hand? And I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to ask God to come into your heart. That your worldview, your way of thinking will be changed, will be transformed by the renewing of your heart, by Jesus Christ coming into your life. If that is you, would you raise your hand? Online, just you can give us a sign by just putting an emoji. And we'll pray for you. Dear Jesus, we thank you for everyone, every hand raised, everyone at the sound of my voice. We thank you for the work that you have done that we can rely on. You tell us in your word that whosoever, because you have laid down your life, whosoever believes will be saved. So Lord, I pray for those that are believing you this morning, trusting you with their lives. Would you come into their lives? Would you change them right now? I also pray for every one of us that are recommitting our hearts and lives to a biblical worldview of work. I ask, Lord, that you also would work in us, again, according to your word, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,